Something a little different today is our guest is Puerto Plata, which is the stage name of José Cobles, a famed Dominican guitarist who specialized in the traditional form of his homeland, boleros, merengue, ranchera, bachata, and in particular, son. He has two recordings available, Mujer de Cabaret and a new one, Casita de Campo. Puerto Plata was never a recording artist during his heyday, which was during the time of the Dominican Republic dictator Rafael Trujillo, where he played in nightclubs. He was discovered a few years ago by his producer, Benjamin de Manil, who is here to translate. Puerto Plata is in his 80s, and I started out by asking him what it was like to get recognition now for his music.
Bueno, me siento de una manera tal que casi no tengo palabras para expresar de la alegría que tiene mi corazón.
He says he feels a strong emotion in his heart and very thankful, especially very thankful to have the opportunity to play with such great musicians and also with his producer.
Now, you began playing this music with your band, El Trio Primavera, and you are the remaining member of the band. What was unusual about this band at the time? Was this music what one would hear throughout the country, or was it, I know you played particularly in Santiago, was it an unusual thing where you were?
Bueno, se tocaba principalmente el son. Son de Cuba.
So he played particularly son, which was a music that's mostly associated with Cuba, but which was very popular in Santiago at the time. And then he also would play boleros by Cuban composers and also by Dominican composers. And then also different styles of music from all over Latin America that they would hear.
Now, this was during the time of Rafael Trujillo, and my understanding is that he loved merengue, and that was one of the things that made your music kind of unusual. And did you have to play merengue because of that as well?
Por supuesto que sí, principalmente cuando ese señor iba.
He said definitely, and whenever Trujillo came to a place, a dance hall, the first thing that had to be played was merengue.
But you would rather play son. You'd rather play the. We now seem to refer to this music as a bachata, and was that a prerogative term at the time? And maybe explain exactly how that becomes the name for this whole style of guitar music.
Bachata anteriormente era un grupo de amigos se juntaba en la casa de fulana de tal.
So, bachata was, in the time of Trujillo, that word was used to describe basically a party, that an informal party that anybody might have, you know, with music, with drinking. And when people started to call the music bachata, it was intended as an insult. Trujillo definitely looked down, although it wasn't called bachata at the time, Trujillo looked down on what was considered backwards, the music of the countryside.
And merengue would have bigger bands, bigger arrangements. There was sort of a class difference, I guess.
La primera era la música de acordeón.
So he remembers the sort of basic merengues of the early days to be what's today called merengue típico, which is played with accordion. And then they added saxophone on there, and then it sort of grew into more of an orchestra. And that was really what was popular with the establishment of Trujillo's day and onwards. And also then merengue also then went on to be played with the guitar as well. But that was considered a different style of merengue than the sort of merengue that Trujillo endorsed.
Well, we've got a wonderful band here today. Puerto Plata, what would you like to begin with?
Casita de Campo, vámonos con ella. Allá en la caña
bajo la palmera, un cielo de estrella nos da su querer. Tú que cobijas casita de canto, nuestro gran amor. Oíste las penas, oíste la ofrenda de tu boca.
Performance of Casita de Campo, which is the title of the second album from Puerto Plata, the second album he made in his 80s of this music that he used to play when he was a younger man in Santiago, in the Dominican Republic, and that's a beautiful bolero. Wonderful tune. I'd love to find out a little bit more about what life was like in the neighborhood you were living in Santiago at the time, La Jolla. You were not primarily a musician. You made money in the daytime as a carpenter.
Bueno, mi trabajo oficial es la carpintería.
So he worked as a carpenter for the United Fruit Company, and started off working in the Dominican Republic, and then his work took him to Panama, and then to Puerto Rico. And then in Puerto Rico, he had a fight with his boss and went home.
So, but when you got back to Santiago, you were making music full time, because I couldn't understand how you could do both of these things. I mean, I've heard you had to play long hours in the cabarets. And maybe describe a little bit about what the cabarets were like. I understand they were, yes, there was music, but they were brothels as well.
Era cuestión de prostitución y muy frecuentado por los militares.
So they were places where music was played and people danced, and there are also places where the prostitutes would work, and they were particularly popular with the soldiers of Trujillo, the sort of army rank and file. And when the soldiers would come in, basically they would take over the place and run the place, and everybody else had to sort of quiet down and stay in the shadows.
Now, these songs seem to have a wonderful universal lyrics to them, but I'm wondering if there are any kind of subversive lyrics amongst them as well. How did you react to having the strong arm of Trujillo over you and over the music in some ways when the soldiers would come?
Bueno, que yo recuerde, no, porque se cuidaba uno mucho de.
People were, as he doesn't remember any songs that people sang against Trujillo. People were much too afraid. Anybody who spoke against Trujillo, that was finished.
Puerto Plata is our guest today on the cafe, and his latest album is called Casita de Campo. And on here, I notice you talked about the influence of Cuban song. You do a version of Guantanamera, a song we associate, obviously, with Cuba and in some ways with the Cuban Revolution. This song was equally as popular in the Dominican Republic?
La nueva que yo le puse ahora. Ah, que me puse a entregar un negro a ver si color cogía. Y mientras más lo entregaba, más negro se me ponía.
The Guantanamero was a popular song as well in the Dominican Republic. He put his own words to it. And this was a common occurrence. People would sort of improvise to this style of music. People would improvise their own words. And the verses that he put were sort of popular verses that he heard in the street when he was young. Mm. And some of them are talking about kind of racial issues, but in a very, what they call doble sentido, which is means words that have two meanings.
And about what era? About what time?
30 pico.
He remembers these words from as far back as the 1930s when he was just a kid.
Mm. Well, lovely. Can we hear a version of that?
Damas y caballeros, ahora le vamos a cantar la Guantanamera.
Lo que no venía
los que no venían han llegado ya, y los que venían han quedado atrás, y los que venían han quedado atrás.
Guantanamera, a song you know with lyrics you probably don't. There are new lyrics from Puerto Plata, who is our guest today. Puerto Plata, you moved here to the U.S. to Denver in the 1990s, and I'm wondering what would happen were you to bring this music back to the Dominican Republic. Have you been able to do that? Would the music have just moved on? Would this seem very old-fashioned, this music, or how would it be taken?
Bueno, con agrado.
He says that in Dominican Republic, people really appreciate this music that's considered like part of the heritage of the country.
So there's not a popular music industry that would moves on as it does here in the States so much. So this is truly the music of the people. You want to answer that?
I'll answer that. Sure. Yes, there is sort of the modern popular music of today that is not this style of music. This is more the folkloric music. But just as in the United States, there's a sort of separate appreciation of folkloric music and then of the modern pop music.
Did you make music when you moved here to the States initially?
No.
What led you to record again? Or to record really for the first time?
Cuando conocí al señor Benjamín de Menil.
So he met an American kid in the Dominican Republic who introduced him to his producer, Benjamin de Menil. And from there, everything just happened.
We'll break the third wall, and our translator is Benjamin de Menil. Benjamin, did you were you aware of his music, or what did you I mean, this must have been pretty exciting.
Yeah, well, I was working with Adilio Paredes, with other singers, and I through a mutual friend of Adilio's, I encountered Puerto Plata, and I heard him sing, and it was amazing, and so we started working together.
Wonderful. Time for another tune, I guess. Puerto Plata, what's next?
Una pieza del primer CD que se titula Mujer de Cabaret.
Mujer de Cabaret.
That is the song that is the title track of the first Puerto Plata album called Mujer de Cabaret, and this great band playing live for us today. Puerto Plata, these boleros are so romantic. I was reading about another part of your job with the Trio Primavera, which was not only to play in the cabarets, but I understand people would hire you just as you would see it in the movies to serenade their loved ones, standing below the balcony, that kind of a thing. Did you that?
Bueno, un señor muy encorbatadito. Nosotros veníamos de la ciudad arriba y no habíamos hecho nada.
So he just told a story. He didn't directly answer the question. Maybe I'll get back to that later, but I'll just translate the story he just told. So this is a story about one time when he was hired to do a serenade, and a man came very well dressed, came and said with a very serious look on his face, and said, "You know, I need you all to do a serenade for my girlfriend. You know, let's pick a song." So they went over the repertoire. They picked a beautiful song called El Arbolito. Then he took them on, you know, on a long, winding path through lots of different streets. Finally, after a long time, they arrived at the place. They sang the song, and then when it was all over, he gave them 35 cents. He said, "Here, this is go have a lot of fun with this."
So it didn't always work out. Did it usually work out with the woman involved, do you think? Was it helpful?
Bueno, la gente de los lugares donde vivíamos cerca, Daniel y yo.
So people, the way that the serenadas would work, where people would know that they were musicians, they knew where they lived more or less. I mean, everybody in the neighborhood knew who they were. And so they would come to their house and say, could you sit up at such and such a time to come to my girlfriend's house, or it could be, I don't know, my wife, my mistress, whatever, and be outside her window and sing to her. It was usually in the evening, and sing to her some songs. And that was one of the main ways that musicians would earn money in those days and earn their living.
Puerto Plata is our guest, and we were talking about some of the times they would play with its trio Primavera, which I understand you were popular for more than just your music. Maybe talk about who the other members of the of the trio were.
El requinto era.
There are four big baseball teams in the Dominican Republic, and Daniel Rodriguez, the person who would sing maracas and play maracas and sing the first voice in the trio, was the shortstop of one of these teams, and so he was very famous, especially in the region. And apparently, he made a record for double plays that has yet to be broken.
Well, that probably didn't hurt getting gigs either. That's fabulous. Puerto Plata, thank you so much for playing live for us today.
Bueno, estamos para servir.
He says, at your service.
Puerto Plata, our guest today on The World Cafe. Thanks to producer Benjamin de Manil for translating. Puerto Plata has two recordings available, Mujer, the Cabaret, and the new one, Casita de Campo.